It's Wednesday, time for a weekly discussion of state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining the program today is Seth Tupper, editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Seth, welcome back to the program.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, doing just fine. Also here is Kevin Wooster, veteran journalist and Rapid City reporter for KELO-TV. And Kevin, it's nice to talk with you again as well.
It's good to be back, Carl.
Well, the state legislature is in its second week, and one of the early issues being debated is the Common Core Education Standards. The Senate Education Committee voted yesterday to advance a bill that would establish a council to study the standards that are being implemented this year. There are other bills being discussed, including one that would require a waiting period and public comment on new content standards. And given that the State Board of Education adopted the standards back in 2010, Kevin, why do you think the debate is happening now?
Well, I think this is kind of we have one senator from TU, Senator Ernie Otten, that's kind of taken all the concern that's come about as this process has moved along and kind of turned it into these pieces of legislation. And sometimes it takes a while for, you know, that concern to end up in the legislature, and I think it's kind of what happened. It passed. People talked about it. It's, you know, in the process of being implemented. There were a lot of concerns, some of them legitimate, maybe a lot of them not necessarily legitimate, about what this would do and what it means, and some confusion as well. And the people that I've talked to in education out here, Tim Mitchell, the local superintendent of schools here, are certainly looking at this, and he said this morning that he hasn't yet come down in support of it, but he's leaning that way because it all seems to be kind of common sense legislation aimed at making sure the public's involved and informed, and that there's a process that we're going through on these changes, and that seems to be okay with him. And you know, I have to say, Senator Otten's done a lot of work on this. He hasn't just come in here and run something in and taken the concerns and, you know, turned it into kind of a hard-edge legislation, but he's worked with various groups to try and make something that's a little softer and a little easier to accept.
Seth Tupper, do you think this debate is helpful in allowing us to understand what exactly is going on with the Common Core standards, what they are and what they mean?
I think it is helpful, and I think that's a credit to the people involved. You know, on the local level around the state, there's been a lot of anger about Common Core, and there's been, you know, a lot of meetings with angry people saying, you know, slinging a lot of accusations around. And I've been sort of, you know, mystified by that. I you know, I understand some people don't like the Common Core standards, but it seems that they've become sort of a flashpoint on which, you know, for people to project their anger about the Obama administration and the federal government. And some of that anger to me seems a little bit misplaced, but I have been impressed by the way in which they've gone about this legislation so far, and just sort of a common sense approach to bring everybody to the table and alleviate some of the fears in this and look at some of the maybe there's some legitimate criticisms that can be looked at. So I think it is helpful, and as you mentioned, it was adopted in 2010, but if I'm not mistaken, I think the real implementation in the schools is just happening this year in a lot of places, if not all. And I think maybe that's part of the reason for the late reaction, is as people are actually seeing what's, you know, how it's impacting their children and things like that. But I think it is helpful, and maybe everybody can come away a little more knowledgeable and a little more satisfied with what's being done.
Well, Seth, with the adoption of the standards and some of them already underway, do you think that this debate is too late?
Well, for the most part, yes. I mean, the standards are adopted; they're in place. You know, I anything can be changed, you know, to some extent after the fact. But the basic body of Common Core, I think, is there, and it's there to stay for a while. I don't know, you know, as far as major changes, what's going to be done at this point. I think, if anything, it'd be tweaking the program. But I mean, the program is in place; it's up and running. It does seem a bit late for some of this.
Education reform was one of the hot topics in the legislature a couple of years ago. Kevin, why do you think making changes in education is such a controversial issue?
Well, I think Seth really encapsulated that pretty well. There seems to be this transference. You know, you take a generalized angst and anger and frustration, and people tend to look for an issue that they can kind of pile it all on. And this became that issue for a lot of people. And it out of confusion, the primary confusion in a lot of people's minds is that this is federal stuff, and it's really not. You know, it came out of states and out of state systems and out of the Association of States, and it really had a lot of input by this state and other states to try and actually come up with something that was shaped more towards individual states' needs. But there was confusion about that, and boy, you know, when people get mad, and then occasionally, this is always hard to believe, but there are some people that stir that madness, even though they know that they're not doing it necessarily always honestly. And then it's pretty easy to get people riled up about something and get people confused. And again, that's why I would think that when Senator Rotten got into this, he probably got into this thinking, well, we're going to have to go in and make some major changes. There's a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, and the more he learned about it and the more he talked to people, which I really have to give him credit for and a lot of people credit for, because that doesn't always happen. People don't always educate themselves before they take on these issues, and I think he's done that and so have others. And so, you know, that lingered, and away we went. And it's kind of hard sometimes to pull the reins back in, but I think they're doing that pretty well with this.
Another controversy that has popped up in the opening days of the session, the South Dakota High School Activities Association has come under scrutiny by lawmakers over whether it should be subject to the state's open records law. The association's executive director, Wayne Carney, took questions from lawmakers yesterday. The association is a nonprofit corporation created by state law, but there's confusion over whether it's a private or public organization. Seth, given the controversy that's and some of the concerns that are popping up here, do lawmakers need to clarify what exactly the High School Activities Association role is and how it relates to state government?
Well, if you back up, I think there's a lot of parallels here between this and the Common Core issue. I think what's really going on here with the Activities Association is, as we've already mentioned, a general angst and anxiety and anger about some things that have been happening with people, cities losing their state tournaments. Mitchell, we just lost the competitive cheer and dance state tournament that we were scheduled to have because of new guidelines that came out. It's happened in other communities as well. I think there's an anger building out there about some of the things that are happening with the Activities Association. A raise in ticket prices that they implemented, you know, state tournaments all seeming to migrate to Sioux Falls. To me, this has become all of a sudden, again, the flashpoint that people have organized around to direct their anger toward. The Activities Association, they post their agendas. You can attend their meetings. I'm a little confused as to what's not open already about the Activities Association. And I'm all for government openness. If they want to pass a law that says they're covered by the Open Records and Open Meetings Law, good for them. I'll get out of the way and allow them to do that gladly. But I don't know, if you read the law carefully, it does look like the Activities Association is a private nonprofit. It wasn't necessarily created by state government. State government allows school boards to defer the governance of activities to this nonprofit, the Activities Association. But so as I look at the law, I don't think it is covered by the Open Meetings Law currently. If they want to change that, fine, they'll have that debate. But again, I think there's a generalized anger out there toward the Activities Association that is just sort of being funneled into all of a sudden the idea that they're not open enough.
Kevin?
There have been times in the past when I would have liked to seen the executives in Pierre be a little more open with reporters on what was going on and what was coming with board decisions that were really important to a lot of schools. And I think perhaps they haven't always done that in my experience. And I think sometimes the board members defer everything to the executives. I don't know that that's always good either. So, not that I have anything against Wayne Carney. I've known him for many years, covered him. He seems like an honorable, smart guy. He's got school experience and administrator experience in the schools, I'm kind of like Seth. I'm confused myself about this, how this organization stands in terms of the state open records laws and meetings laws. But I think more openness is always good, and I think this organization would probably benefit from that. I think they probably don't have as much to hide as some people out there think they do.
South Dakota's ag groups are supporting a new law creating a felony penalty for animal cruelty, but some legislators like Representative Betty Olson and Senator Larry Roden voiced their concerns about the bill during a hearing last Friday. As I understand it, South Dakota is the only state where animal cruelty isn't a felony. Kevin, since those two lawmakers are from out out in your neck of the woods. Does this animal cruelty bill have much support among ranchers and then the farmers?
I wouldn't think it's got a great deal of support among ranchers out here. I think there's a concern about putting a felony, onto somebody who maybe does something that they don't think is cruel, and somebody somewhere else does. And one of the things I think people out here are wondering is, why do we need this? Is South Dakota somehow been shown that because we're the only one without a felony law covering animal cruelty that we have more animal cruelty? Their argument would be that we don't, and there's really no reason to go beyond this. I think that based on what I understand, I think this is probably going to pass. You've certainly got some farm groups that have done what they can, and their argument is that we're heading off worse legislation. We kind of stand out for the antis around the country that point to us and say they don't even have a felony law there. We got to go in and change their laws. So they see this as kind of a preemptive strike against those animal activists who may come in and fix it up for us if we don't make some changes ourselves.
And Seth Tupper, do you see this bill having much support among farmers in the eastern part of the state?
Well, and the knee-jerk reaction obviously will be no, but I think if anybody would sit down and think and look about look at the issue and think about it, I mean, there are probably certain extreme cases of animal cruelty that deserve to be charged as a felony. I don't know what they'd be off the top of my head, but we've all seen some of the stories that have come out in the media over the years of just extreme cruelty to animals. And, most crimes have that variation from, a minor misdemeanor charge up to a felony. So I think it's obviously reasonable to think that there could be a case of animal cruelty so extreme that it ought to be charged as a felony. And if every other state has that charge, there must be some logic behind it. So I don't know, when you try to take on anything that any buddy from the ag sector doesn't like, your legislation may be in trouble because they're obviously a powerful entity in the state. But again, I hope a nuanced and approach wins out here and realizes that just because you make extreme animal cruelty a felony doesn't mean we're against farmers or ranchers.
Speaking of Representative Betty Olson, she's a Republican from Prairie City, and she's sponsoring a bill that would allow people with concealed weapons permits to carry hidden guns into public buildings like courthouses and the state capitol. Kevin, do you think this is a bill that will go anywhere?
I can't really see this going anywhere. Betty's a kick, isn't she? She just never stops bringing stuff in that gets headlines and gets our attention. But, and her argument is, her argument tends to be that we should be, law-abiding citizens that have these concealed weapons permits should be able to carry them. And I can't imagine that very many judges or court administrators or folks that work in courthouses are going to really want very many people coming in there packing a heater. But, it'll certainly be an interesting discussion. I can't imagine the bill's going to pass.
And Seth, your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this one. But I just, our democracy, a free society, is founded on the idea that we can all gather peaceably and conduct our business without the need for violence. And that's very symbolic. When you enter a courthouse or a city hall or a facility like that and you're asked to disarm, it's a very symbolic acknowledgement of the idea that we can conduct trials, we can conduct public government meetings without the need or the threat of violence. And so there's a very, very good reason that you can't carry firearms into those types of facilities. It's very, to me, foundational to our free and democratic society, and to the idea that somebody could bring a gun into a trial or a courthouse or a public meeting that could get heated, and then you have that threat of violence. That to me is one of the worst ideas that has ever come down the pike. So, and as Kevin said, Betty Olson is kind of the queen of this type of legislation, and of course it'll get a lot of headlines. But boy, I hope it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, finally, we'll head up to the nation's capital, where the House Senate Conference Committee has been working on the final language for a farm bill. But Senator Tim Johnson said yesterday that he's worried that the country of origin labeling provisions that he got into law in 2002 won't be in it. Representative Christy Noem, who's one of the conferees, also supports those provisions. And Doug Somke of the State Farmers Union said his organization might not support the farm bill if those provisions aren't in it. Kevin, is it even possible to produce a farm bill that everyone will be happy with?
Well, that's always the question, and you know, it's this issue, it's the dairy support issue. It seems like something always comes up. Now, my understanding is the latest version, and I haven't followed this closely in the last week or two, but that they were coming up with additional money to take from the food stamp program, but far less than the House wants, but more than the Senate originally proposed. And it's such a complicated piece of legislation that I'm amazed every time they finally do pass one. And so I'm never exactly sure what's going to happen with it, or will they extend it again, or will they continue to, you know, just do this piecemeal stuff. But it seems like every time they get one of these things settled, another issue pops up. And this country of origin label, certain out here in western South Dakota especially, it's a really big issue. So there will be a lot of pressure from folks this way to get that settled, or maybe not to finish it until they do.
Seth Tupper, do you think that, I mean, it's hard to know what exactly is going on, but do you think the conferees will be able to come up with a final negotiated farm bill? And then what happens? Does it even pass?
Well, I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, and that's one of the problems. If people really want to direct their anger about openness towards something, this would be a good topic. I mean, this is the farm bill is something that's been dragging out for years and has millions of people across the country interested in it. And if you follow it, I mean, we've got a handful of negotiators behind closed doors putting together this enormously complex bill. And our own congressional delegation, I don't think, even knows what's going on right now because of the way this is done. There's, to me, an example of some strange doings in the government that should be more open. And it's frustrating because most of the coverage you see of the farm bill, yeah, is just speculation. Somebody's heard this is in it, that's out of it, et cetera, and then we won't know until the final deal is done. And by then, it seems like it'd be too late to change anything. So
my question for Seth is,
puzzling process.
You know, should they be able to carry firearms into these negotiations? That's what I'm
saying. Well, probably
maybe
not.
Get something done sooner.
Well, maybe there's more logic in that idea.
See, just consider it, Seth. That's all I'm saying.
I guess so. You got to look at all sides.